Hi, everyone, and welcome to New Every Day. This is Carrie.
And this is Jen. And on today's show, we are going to talk about part five of Shattering Loneliness and what our response is.
So stay tuned. We will be right back.
This is New Every Day with Jen Wagger and Carrie Webb.
Thanks, everyone, for tuning back in to New Every Day. So glad that you have tuned in again. And we are in part five of Shattering Loneliness. Jen, we've walked through Psalm 139. We identified what it is like within ourselves that we have this need to be with other people, be with someone significant. And that's a God-given hole, like Blaise Pascal said, that there's this God-shaped hole in our life that only the Lord can fill.
Yes.
And I think he put that there.
Yes.
To draw us to himself.
Well, because one of the things we often forget is that sin separates us from God. Like right from the beginning, when Eve ate of the fruit and then her husband Adam ate it, it separated them from God. The same thing has not changed. Like when we choose to willfully sin, or even when we choose not to willfully sin, but we sin anyways without knowing it, it causes separation from God. God, the one who created us, who knows us, who actually meets and fulfills all of our needs. Mm. And so when we talk about the God-shaped hole in our heart, as soon as we try stuffing it with things and people, it never feels right because it's not lasting. Mm. So what is it that actually will shatter the loneliness that we are experiencing? God. Right. God and God alone, pursuing a relationship with God Almighty.
Yes. And we talked about how God is all-knowing. He really knows us. And there's that hunger inside of us to have someone within our life to bear witness to our life who says, oh, I really know that person. And then we talked about how God is all-powerful.
And all-present.
And all-present. And we desire to have presence with other people, to have someone significant in our life. And the Lord is the answer to that. So whether you are single or married, whether you are just in a new relationship or not, the Lord is the answer to shattering loneliness. And so at now we're already at verse 19 in Psalm 139.
Yep.
And it almost seems like there's like a change in gears here, Jen. Like the wording is very different.
Yes.
So we go from talking about how God, King David, who wrote the psalm, says, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They can't be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake, you're still with me.
No, I'm still with you.
I mean,
what does yours say?
You are still with me.
That's two different things.
It is.
As we both look down to our Bibles, we're like, wait a second.
Wait, but if I'm with you, you're with me.
We might have to talk about this later.
Okay, we'll think about that.
All right. It's an anomaly.
Obviously.
Today and every day, an anomaly, something that we can't speak to.
Interesting. Huh. So read from your version, Jen. Verse 19 to 24, if you would.
Okay. If only you would slay the wicked, O God, away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Even as you were reading those, I kind of like went like this. It's almost like I feel, I just want to skip over those verses because they seem very acidic.
Ooh, nice word.
Thanks. And it's like, well, we're supposed to like love our enemies and everything's cool and, you know, just be loving. And yes, we're supposed to be loving, but why are these verses in here?
And you know what's really interesting about these verses is as I prepared this passage for my congregation, I spoke on this passage, and sometimes I like to get a video representation of the passage, like a spoken word. Mm-hmm. None of them that I looked at had that passage.
Right?
Yes. And I'm like, you can't skip over the word of God. Like, you can't say, I don't like that part, so I'm not going to put it in.
And but there are some scriptures, Jen, that I feel like, I don't like that.
Fair enough. And I'm there. We just go, wow. And I've even said, I went and visited a lady in the hospital, and I read her Psalm 139. And I even said to her, I don't know why David put this in here, but I can't skip over it, so I'm going to read it anyways, and we'll just let God do what God is going to do. Mm. Like, because I don't know. And so as I memorized this passage, I just said to the Lord, would you teach me what this means? Oh, that you would slay the wicked away from me, you bloodthirsty men.
Do I not hate those who hate you? Yes. And loathe those who rise up against
yes.
you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies.
I know. Like, you're like,
we're not supposed
whoa.
To be hateful people. And so what? Where'd you land?
Well, I guess two places. First place would be, because we've just traveled through, God, you are all-knowing. Mm-hmm. God, you are all-present. Mm-hmm. And God, you are all-powerful. Do they not get it? Like, these people are rising up against you. Like, could, mm-hmm. like just get rid of them, because they don't get how amazing and awesome you are, right? It says, oh, that you would slay, right? Like, get rid of them. I think David's just crying out to them, crying out to God, saying, get rid of these people who don't get you. Because he's starting to understand who God is, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, and then he's like, away from me, you bloodthirsty men, because he doesn't want to have anything to do with people who don't know God. Like,
yeah,
this
I can
is
see
who
that.
God is.
And in contrast to how amazing he is, evil and sin looks truly evil. Like, we can't
yes.
have, you can't see night without the day and just... It, similarly, you can't understand evil and wickedness unless you have a holy God to compare it to.
Yes.
So when you see how awesome and amazing he is, it makes the other thing seem so disdainful and terrible.
Yeah. My commentary here says, my zeal for you sets me against all your adversaries. Mm-hmm. David reflects jealous impatience with God's patience towards the wicked, but leaves judgment to God.
Interesting. And mine says, the psalmist's sense of awe leads him to consider the wicked and to reflect on himself. The Lord, as the examiner of all people, judges the wicked for their destructive acts and speech. Thus, the psalmist prays that he will not be among them.
Yeah.
Because at the end it says, search me, O God, and know my heart.
Yeah.
Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life.
Yeah. So David, when he says, like, away from me, he knows his own heart. And it says, bad company corrupts good. It says, lead me not into temptation. So when we hang out with people who don't know God, the odds of us being drawn in along with them increase.
Yeah.
And so David realizes that, you know, just like, and I don't know when this passage was written, if it was written pre or post Bathsheba, but it seems like his life began to fall apart right after that incident. But he realizes what happens when we allow sin to happen. So he could also be saying, like, I know what happens with sin.
And I don't want anything to do with it.
I don't want anything to do with it. And get everybody away from me who
yeah.
does like sin or who would lead me into sin because of the way it wrecks lives. And so there's like this righteous indignation that rises up within David to say, like, Lord, take care of them. Mm-hmm. Like, don't allow their influence on people to pull them away from you, right? Because where it says, they speak of you with evil intent, your adversaries misuse your name. Mm. So there's this idea of God's enemies, those bloodthirsty men, actually draw people away from God. And David is like, I don't want that, because they miss out on who you are. Mm-hmm. So I think it is this righteous indignation that rises up within David.
Yeah.
And so he wants all the wicked people to be gone, so they don't stop people from connecting and interacting and having a relationship with Jesus.
Yeah. And also I think, Jen, that if we're going to say that something is good,
mm-hmm.
we have to be able to say that something is evil.
Yes.
And I feel like sometimes the church, in the name of tolerance, says, will not be quick to say something is evil. But there's a verse in scripture that says that in the last times people will call good evil and evil good.
Yes.
And that is wrong. And it's hard to stand up and say, No, you know what? Actually, that is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
To kill an unborn child that has been fearfully and wonderfully made and knit together in someone's body,
yes,
is wrong and is murder. And I almost feel like because this is here in contrast to what David has already said, it shows how it's okay to speak in contrast to something.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
I remember sitting in law class and we had to debate and our topic was abortion.
Yeah.
And I felt so compromised because they said, basically it said, well, you cannot pass a law that says abortion is wrong. Because what about this, and what about this, and what about this? And I'm just sitting there going, but God created that little baby inside of that mom, whether it was in the wrong context or the right context or a horrible context. God still chose to bring life to that baby.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting there in law class and listening to everything going around me because it was based on the mother and how she felt, which is fine. And I'm not saying that's wrong to consider someone else's feelings, but all I could think about, but God knit this baby together, and just because it's not convenient or wasn't birthed in love, because we have this idea that babies should always be birthed in love. Sometimes they're not. Like,
yeah.
I've never been in that situation, so I can't speak to it. But all I could think about was, but God created that baby. But God created that baby. And you're right. It is because we don't want to offend or hurt, we just sort of stand back. And I had a lady ask me on the weekend, she said, well, what about other people and other religions? Are they not going to go to heaven? And I was like, ah, nuts, here we go. And I said, well, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And she looked at me and she says, I agree.
Yes.
But the fear rose up in me because I'm like, yes. If I draw this line in the sand and said, well, actually, no, the word of God says, okay, like, our job is to proclaim truth.
Yes.
Our job isn't to try to explain away what God is saying.
Right, because there is a right way and there is a wrong way.
Yes.
And there's a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it leads to death.
Yes, and so when we don't get something, and this goes back to what we talked about last week, when people are formed in ways that don't meet the norm, and we have to surrender it to God. Like, whatever situation we find ourselves in, we have to surrender it to God. And so many people will say to us about sex outside of marriage, but we love each other.
Right.
And it's like, I have no problem with you loving each other, but God's not going to bless your sin. And people don't want to hear that because our culture says it's all about you. It's all about you.
Yes. And that right and wrong is a matter of personal preference.
Yeah.
Right? So if, according to that mother or that couple or whatever, their personal preference is mm-hmm. to do A, B, and C, and it seems right,
yeah.
but it leads to death. And I heard a speaker talking about, you know, moral relativism and the nature of truth. And he said, you know, in some cultures, people love their neighbors. And in other cultures, people eat their neighbors. Now, which do you prefer?
Yes.
I think there's something written on our hearts that says that ultimately some things are good and some things are bad.
Yes.
And that God has put that there. And the Word of God helps to illuminate that. And I think yes. that Psalm 139 helps to illuminate the nature and the value of humans mm-hmm. being created. And that helps us to have a response to things like abortion or to when people are being devalued or when
yes.
people are murdered. This is saying it's wrong.
Yes. And so here we are. If only you would slay the wicked, oh God, because then we wouldn't have these problems. If you would just get rid of the wicked, we actually wouldn't have to worry about all of these issues that are rising up. And they're misusing your name. They have nothing but evil intent towards you.
Yeah.
And, you know, do we have that kind of hatred? Do we abhor those who rise up against God?
Mm.
And the thing is, we have allowed ourselves to be thinned out when it comes to that. Like, I said it on this past Sunday. I said, when you watch a YouTube video and up comes, they've taken the Lord's name in vain and you don't even hear it anymore. Or you say, well, maybe the rest of the video won't be like that, instead of just turning it off.
Yeah.
it's easier to persevere through blaspheming the name of the Lord. And yet, if you were to sit beside someone and they were to bring down all sorts of curses on your wife or your husband or your children, you wouldn't stand for it. You would stand up and you'd say, no, that's wrong. I'm not in agreement with you. And yet we're so easily pacified with, oh, they don't really know.
Yes. Or I'm extending grace. Well, Jesus, when he identified sin, he actually made, you know, he took a whip and cleared the temple.
Yes. So we need to pause. Okay. I'm just like, whoa, we need a commercial break. But there's, we're, as you can tell, we're getting passionate about this. And Carrie and I talk about this actually quite often. So think about what your response is to blatant sin. And we'll be back right after this.
Whether you shop on ThinkGeek, GearBest, B&H Photo Video, eBay, or Amazon, or even if you want a free trial of Audible, you'll find the best deals and support the shows we produce by simply visiting the shopping sites you already frequent by using the links on our website. Visit category5.tv/partners for the full and ever-growing list and help us create more free content like this show. Thank you for shopping with our partners, and thank you for watching.
Hi, and welcome back to New Every Day. We are so glad that you are watching today. And we left off with some very passionate responses to this passage in Psalm 139. And before we get back into it, we need to say thank you to our partners for partnering with us and making the show possible to help us tell other people about how much God loves them and how he has plans and purposes for them. No matter what, he's there. No matter what they're thinking, like, God knows about it and still desires to have a relationship with you. So we are so thankful that we have this platform to share this. So go to the website, which is
neweveryday.tv.
Check out the partners page. And if you need to get something, I can guarantee that you would find it there. And so here we are, we're talking about shattering loneliness. And part of shattering the loneliness is allowing God to permeate every single area of our life. And that includes the good and the great and the wonderful. But it's this bad and the ugly that sometimes we struggle with. And the question that we ended off with was, what is our response to blatant sin? Because that's part of the bad and the ugly that God still wants us to give over to him.
Yeah.
And so what is our response?
Well, it's just very interesting how David, after he's acknowledged that, oh God, would you destroy the wicked? Oh, would you just get rid of my enemies? And I hate those who hate you. I think that when you see sin, and I know for me, I'm like, I can point it out. Mm. Now I can identify it. And the word of God here has given me permission to call it out. But then, what about the sin that's in my own heart?
Yikes.
And I know we go back there so much, Jen, but it's true. And it says, search me, O God, mm-hmm. and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. I love how David invites God to do the searching. Because if I do the searching, it's pretty superficial.
Yeah.
And to be honest, Jen, I think I need to do this more routinely, where I invite God to do it and then actually wait for him to bring it to mind. Mm. Whatever, you know, he might identify. Point out anything in me that offends you. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Well, my anxious thoughts aren't good thoughts because they're not trusting in him. Point out anything in me that offends you and leads me along the path, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Mm. And just as I was saying, like, it's so easy to be like, oh, there's sin in that person, there's sin in that person. But instead, we need to turn it around and look at our own heart. If you read Romans chapter 2, well, at the end of chapter 1, God is talking about the shameful things that the wicked do. Mm-hmm. And talks about how people will be like lovers of themselves, lovers of money. They won't listen to their parents. They'll invent new ways of sinning. You know, all these terrible things. But then in chapter 2, it says, you may think you can condemn such people, but you are just as bad and you have no excuse. When you say that they are wicked and should be punished, you are condemning yourself, for you who judge others do the very same things.
Hmm. Yikes.
And even in my heart, I know that's been true for me.
You need, if you're a Bible word circler, you need to circle in verse 24. Mine says, see if there is any offensive way in me. What does yours say?
Point out anything in me that offends you.
Okay. Anything. Any. Say with me out there in internet land. Any. Like
that's
that,
pretty inclusive, isn't it?
It is pretty inclusive. See if there is any offensive way in me, or see if there's anything in me that offends you, is very clear. That's like our response to Psalm 139. If we truly want to shatter our loneliness, we have to surrender every area that in our lives to God so he can actually come in to every area and so that we will experience the knowing that we are seeking. It really comes down to intimacy. Like, are we willing to be intimate with God, with every area of our life? And that's one of the reasons why people can be so lonely is because they're not willing to be intimate. Like, they're not, intimacy is not just about being naked in sex. Like, it's being willing to be naked in conversations. Mm. And so often people will come to me after a service and just go, wow, like, you shared this morning, because I'm learning that people need to have the freedom to say what's going on in their heart and to be real that I struggle with this and I don't know about this and this is what I did this week. And because as soon as you allow God into that area, open yourself up for intimacy, it says the darkness has got to flee. As soon as the light comes in, the darkness has to flee. So I believe that we can shatter our loneliness by choosing to be intimate with God.
Mm.
Because the darkness, which we talked about in one of the previous shows, isolates us. We choose to be in willful isolation, willful loneliness, when we do not surrender to the Lord. And it was interesting because as I've been thinking about this, I was thinking like, well, and not that I'm bang on all the time with aloneness, but I find when I start to feel alone, I just start talking to God.
Hmm.
So I'm not alone anymore. Like, it's just really interesting how he meets with me when I start to, like, God, where are you? And he comes and he meets with me. Hmm. It's like he shatters the loneliness because I'm willfully choosing to hand it over to him.
Mm-hmm.
So we encourage you this week to surrender everything to God. And if this is the beginning of the journey, then you surrender the next step. Dear God, I don't even know who you are, but I want to try this out.
Yes.
Because I recognize that there might be an offensive way in me that's keeping me from experiencing what I need to experience, what you have created for me to experience. So Lord, let's go one step at a time, one step at a time to shattering the loneliness. And yes, Jesus came that our sins would be forgiven. He paid the price for our sins. But the other side of the coin is the fact that then he reunites us with God. So when we recognize our sinfulness and that Jesus came to pay the price for our sins, then we are reconnected with God and the loneliness is shattered.
Yes.
Like, yay, God.
It is good news.
It is good news.
And then he equips us to be able to love and serve in community.
Yes.
Which also shatters the loneliness.
Amen.
Can I pray?
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it. Lord, thank you that you have provided a way for us to know you and have a relationship with you, and that you've also equipped us for everything that we need for life and godliness and to live in community with other people. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to stop and reflect, that you would teach us what it means to let you search our hearts and to turn away from things that we know are wrong and to walk in a way that honors you, because you love us and your plans are good, and I thank you for that. God bless our viewers and our listeners this week, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much.
Yes.
For that reminder, and thank you for tuning in. We'll see you here next week, same time, same place.
Yes,
on
we will.
New Every Day. Bye-bye.
Later.
Catch a new episode of New Every Day every Friday morning at neweveryday.tv. We're also on Kodi, Roku, Plex, YouTube, and Facebook. Or if you're in Southern California, tune in every Sunday morning at 6:30 Pacific on Channel 33 Television for the High Desert.